Father, I thank you for my friend. Thank you for my mentor. Thank you for how much that I learn from him, just all the time, just through being with him. And I want to pray that as he speaks to us, his words will have a ripple effect across the church, and they would stay with us in the coming months. Amen.
Thank you, Dave. I just want to start off by declaring the truth that God is at work this morning. Whether you feel him or whether you don't feel him, that's true for you, and it's true for me. In all things, God works for good, the Bible tells us. And if the enemy comes to tell you that God's abandoned you, that he's left you, that he's not working in your situations, then this morning I just want to break that in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I break it right now and release over you the truth that God is for you this morning. And if he was to be sitting next to you right now, he'd put his arms around you and give you a big hug and a kiss. To say, I am with you. I am with you. He'd want you to know that without a doubt. God's a builder. He's building in our lives. He's building the church. He's at work. Thank you, Jesus. But the thing is, how does God build? How is he at work? What means does he use? What tools does he use? How does he relate to us? How does he work with us? How is he working in all things for good? That's a very deep question. How does God work here on earth? And there's lots of misunderstandings about that, and I haven't got time to go into all of it this morning, but I just want to share one or two insights, really, that helped me and increasingly helped me in this season, which I really think might help you guys too. I've put that up before. It's one of my favourite cartoons. Not because I believe it to be true, but because I believe it to be so crassly untrue that it's funny. There's a picture of God there at his computer with his hand over the smite button, waiting to strike it with that so that piano can fall down on that poor unsuspecting soul. You know, and if we're honest, in our culture, there's that kind of image of God, isn't there, that he is watching over us, actually, but it's not to give us hope in the future. As the kids learned earlier, it's actually something he's watching over us to make sure we don't slip up. But if we do, there's a smite button to just to press to make sure that we know that we've done wrong. And that's a common view in our culture. Not a helpful one, but it is a common one. God is watching us. There's another common view, little diagram, heaven and earth. Common view is that we're on earth here and we cry out to God in prayer, that we seek his face, that we cry out to him, and that God from heaven acts and his acts are worked out on the earth. And that's a common view in churches, is it not? I just want to raise a question this morning. Is that a bit simplistic? And I hope you'll allow me to ask that question. Because whilst that view is true, it's not altogether the most helpful view for me. Just because for me it puts too much emphasis on what God is going to do and too little emphasis on what I'm going to do. And that sounds a bit heretical, I know, but it's just, I think that's true. I just think it is true. So and hopefully you'll understand by the end of the morning why I say that, because I feel the Spirit asking me to say this message again and again in these days to stir us up. And then we had Dwayne White with us as a leadership team on Thursday. Who remembers Dwayne? Anybody? He's a lovely guy from Texas, and it was really great to reconnect with him. And he just prophesied over us as a church that it's a new day. He prophesied that the new day, it hasn't dawned yet, but the day starts in darkness and the dawn is coming. And he said, God is doing new things. God's going to do new things amongst us. So I'm looking forward to that. I am really looking forward to that. I'm believing that God is going to do some special things amongst us. See, so we have this view. Someone's sick, we cry out to God, and God heals them. We have this relational difficulty, this tension, maybe in the home, maybe at work. We have a difficulty with our boss, and we pray, and we expect God to do something. We have this difficulty with our finances, maybe. The outgoings are more than the incomings. We pray, we expect God to do something. And that's true. But it's not enough for me. And I want just to fill in a little bit more to make it a bit richer for us. And what's the best way, if we're going to learn a bit more about what God's like, how he acts, what's the best way to do that? We're going to learn a bit from his word. If you've got a Bible, you might want to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 22. It's one of my favourite stories, and it's got a nice song to go with it that you'll be glad to hear, which I'll probably sing to you in a bit. Oh dear. Maybe I shouldn't. It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to do battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, he's the king of Judah, by the way. I think he's the great-great-grandson or the great-great-great-grandson of Solomon. So quite closely related to David. So they came and told the king Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God, our fathers, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? And are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. Anybody relate to that? But our eyes are fixed upon you. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives and their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all of you Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Then the Levites, the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Or praise the Lord, for his loving kindness endures forever. Amen. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Fantastic song. Fantastic story. The song, of course, was by Don Francisco. oldies can remember it. It was a song I, before I became a Christian, my brother lent me this tape with Don Francisco songs on it, and I played it, and I was singing it before I became a Christian, which is a bit crazy. But he said, great jumping Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat chose some singers. He told those singers to sing. And they praised the beauty of holiness instead of shouting out a battle cry. And all the way down to the enemy camp, they sang to the Lord on high. They were singing, praise ye the Lord. His mercy endures forever and ever. Praise ye the Lord. His mercy endures forever and ever. I can't sing, but, you know, I can't stop singing. I can't sing, but I can't stop singing. It's mad, isn't it? It's just as well the Lord loves a joyful noise, because that's the only kind of noise I can make. Oh, for the singers with anointed voices who can sing in tune. But I'm just going to make a joyful noise. You know, the Lord loves a joyful noise. He really does love a joyful noise. He loves it when we get excited, you know that? I know we've been quite tender this morning and quite laid back and things, and that's good to do occasionally, but the Lord loves it when we get excited. He loves it when we actually can't contain ourselves. We have to jump and we have to twirl. He loves it, honestly. I love it when my kids, you know, if I'm coming home from work and my kids up at the window and they are jumping up and down and getting excited at the sight of me, you know, who knows, that blesses my heart. Yeah? I love it when they're sitting quietly beside me too, watching telly. But, you know, I actually love it when they see me and they come running towards me because they can't contain their excitement at seeing me. I remember once when I had been away on business when my daughter Rachel was just 3 and she hadn't seen me for a couple of weeks or maybe just a week. And she was having a party at the in-laws and they were in the garden and I came up the back steps out into the garden. And she went, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy! At the top of her voice, she went running through the multitude. Everyone's eyes turned to her, running towards me to give me that big embrace. God, did I feel good. Come on. You can make Jesus feel good this morning, guys. Every one of us can make Jesus feel good this morning. He loves it when we do that. So, what can we learn from this story, apart from the fact that God loves a joyful noise, apart from the fact that I can't sing? What else can we learn? I want to break it up into four stages. And starts off there with that little man in the bottom corner, crying out to the Lord. We see this vast army coming, this vast army. People that Judah hadn't done anything wrong to, coming to attack them. They were vastly outnumbered. They had no power to defend themselves. And in that situation, they cry out, oh God, help. Who's done that? Come on. If you hadn't done that, oh God, help. They cry out, we need help. We can't do this. We don't know the way. And we're powerless. And, you know, a bit of good news that I want to give this morning is that when we do that, God hears. Another bit of truth for you this morning is that whenever you cry out, the Lord hears. Whenever you speak, cry out to him. Whenever you call upon him, he hears from heaven. And he answers. The Lord has compassion. He has the most compassionate heart in the whole of the universe. And it's aching for us. The Lord is not like us, who sometimes ignores his kids when they have to shout at us or turn our face towards them to get our attention. The Lord hears us. And the next phase, verse 14 to 17, the Lord speaks. This is very often what the Lord does next in situations. The Lord will speak. He won't do necessarily straight away, but he will speak. He will always speak. The question is, you know, are we listening? That's the real question. And the next phase is Jehaziel, the prophet, hears. He hears what the Lord has said, and he declares it to the people. So he's heard the Lord, and now he's speaking out. He's acting on what the Lord has said. He declares it with boldness. Then we get one verse at the end where God does something. The act of Jehaziel and the people of Judah releases the power of God to work in their situation. The question is, would the armies have been defeated if Jehaziel not stood up and prophesied what he prophesied? No, almost certainly not. This is a very common way for God to work. He did it with Moses in the Exodus. He heard the cries of the people in distress in Egypt. So God speaks and says to Moses, I'm going to deliver my people. But I want you to go back and tell Pharaoh that. If Moses doesn't go back and tell Pharaoh to let my people go, will they be let go? No. But when Moses does do that, he goes back and says, let my people go. The Lord says, let my people go. The power of heaven is released into that situation to bring freedom to a multitude of people. It's the same in the New Testament with Jesus. You often work this way. A blind man comes to him for healing. Disciples are still thinking that God's got his finger on the smite button. They're still thinking that God works that way. And they're saying, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? And Jesus says, you've got it all wrong, forget about that, obviously. But while it's day, let's do the works of him who sent me. Let's heal him. And he spits in the ground, said, I'm the light of the world, spits in the ground, makes mud patties and puts him in the guy's eye, and then says, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. The pool of sending. The thing is, if the guy doesn't go and wash in the pool of Siloam, will he be healed? Possibly not. We don't know, really, but possibly not. There is something that is released in our response to God's words that releases the kingdom of heaven into our lives and the lives of those around us. So this shows that God is a God of compassion. He hears our cries. And he comes to save, not to judge. He comes to open blind eyes, not to tell people why they're blind. And this is a much more relational way of God working. You can see this straight away. This requires us to be a bit more intimate with the Lord. This requires us actually to start to think about our relationship with him. It's not just simply crying up and then just, that's it. You could do that to a telephone directory. You could speak to it, tell it all that you want, and then say, I've done my bit now. Couldn't you? That doesn't require any faith, does it? It doesn't require any faith. And, you know, I said this in Marley last week. The currency of heaven is faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the reason God loves to work this kind of way is that actually it requires us to take steps of faith. Not in a nasty way, but just in a relational way. This is fantastic. It's brilliant. And why does it please him? Why does this faith please him? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But why is he pleased with faith? Simply because it's a relational thing. It shows trust. It just shows trust. If I have a friend, and I ask them to do something, and they do it just because I've asked them, that shows trust in me. It pleases me. in a very natural, earthly kind of relational way. But God's exactly the same in his dealings with us. He loves it when we respond to what he says in faith. Because, you know, Jehoshaphat learned something from his father, Asa. Asa was a man like his dad, like his son, sorry. He once saw off a huge army, a huge multitude of Ethiopians, over a million of them, in faith. Then one day along comes another army from Israel, an army that's twice the size as his. And instead of turning to the Lord, what Asa does is he takes money from the temple treasury and pays the king of Syria to attack Israel. And the prophet comes to him and says, what have you done? If you turn back to chapter 16. Verse 7, it says, and at that time, Hanani, the seer, the prophet, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you've relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. And this is interesting. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. That was it. So there's this general pattern. Man cries out. God in his compassion hears and speaks. Man acts. That requires faith. And releases God to act on the earth. And that's relational. Because God has given us the earth and God doesn't want to act unilaterally on the earth. He wants us to work with him in partnership. From beginning to end, the Bible cries that out. Cries that out. I don't want to do this alone. Which is why the Lord says in Amos 3:7, I do nothing unless I first reveal my secret counsel to my servants, the prophets. I want to work with you, God says. I don't want to work despite you. I don't want to work regardless of what you think. I want to work with you on the earth. I'm always looking. I am watching. They were right. I am watching. God is watching. He's watching over the whole earth, watching over you and me. But not to smite us, but actually looking to see if we're going to take a step of faith on which we can actually, he can come on the back of and show himself strong. And I want to challenge us this morning. When's the last time we did that? When is the last time we allowed ourselves that opportunity? We gave God an opportunity to show himself strong on our behalf. When is the last time? Because we've got to apply this stuff to our lives, guys. And this is the way God works with us often. We cry out. God speaks. We listen to his word and we act on it. And in our acting, in our act of faith, God's power is released into our lives. That's what happens. You know, when Sadie and I were crying out for children, God spoke to people in this room. God spoke to Mick. When we couldn't conceive, where's Mick? Oh, there, right in front of me. One of God's greatest gifts to me, my friend. You know, we were desperate for kids and we were crying. Teddy was regularly crying and for years we couldn't conceive. And Mick was praying for us. He came to us and said, God says you're going to be okay. You're going to have kids. Don't worry. That was a word of comfort to us. Alistair comes to us with a vision saying he's seen us with two kids leaving Delta Scheme. That was the company I worked with. And that came to pass. Three ladies in Marlow came to us at the end of a meeting, separately, and all of them separately at the same meeting, and said to us, God says he's going to give you your heart's desire. They had all heard, and they all acted in faith and told us that God said he's going to give us our heart's desire. Three of them on the same morning, and within a week, Sadie fell pregnant. God is faithful to his word if we act on it. The thing is, if we don't act on it, we don't give him an opportunity to show himself strong. It's amazing. It's amazing. Where's Alejandro? You've allowed God to show himself strong this year, Alejandro. I want to commend you in praying for your friend Hazel. You know, I won't tell the whole story because it's Hazel's and Alejandro's to share, but, you know, Hazel was pregnant, was going to have a baby, and there was scans, and it was showing up all kinds of difficulties, really serious difficulties, which were obvious to see in the scan. And Alejandro heard the voice of the Lord as Hazel cried out, Alejandra heard the voice of the Lord and declared that God was going to work a healing in that child. Others of us prayed too, but Alejandra declared the word of the Lord to that lady. And at last, in about 2 or 3 weeks ago, that baby was born with minimal problems. Went from really, really serious, life-threatening problems to minimal problems. But the word of God is released into that womb to bring healing. Well done, Alejandra, for allowing God to show himself strong in you. You see, because we don't only apply it to our lives, we also apply it to the lives of those around us. Because people all around us are crying out, you know that, don't you? I was chatting to a Muslim just yesterday in a friend's kitchen, a neighbour's kitchen, and he was saying to me, I don't really like my religion that much because they go, or the people that lead our religion, because they go on about the spiritual side of things so much. So that they don't actually talk about the things that really matter to me. You know, the things that are going on in my heart. I have to deal with lust. I have to deal with anger. I have to deal with pride. They don't help me with those things. I thought, wow, you're not far from the kingdom of heaven. You know, that guy is amazing. But he's got that, he sees that need. People are crying out to us, crying out all around us. The question is, do we have ears to hear what they're crying? Do we have ears to hear? Are we moved with compassion when we hear their cries? Because if we are, the Lord will speak to us. And he'll speak to us because he's got our attention. He may not have their attention. They might not know him. But we know him. And we know that he's a God of compassion. He will speak to us for their situations. And we can act on their behalf, like Alejandro did, by prophesying into their lives. That's what happened to me when I went to that nursery that time. You heard the story when I prayed for that guy's back. I met the guy, never met him before in my life, heard the terrible story, moved with compassion, saying, God, you would want to do something. And God says, well, I'll do something then. So I said, okay, I believe God wants to do something in your life. Can I pray for you? I believe God wants to have mercy on you and do something for your back in your situation. And he said, yes, I'm desperate. I'll try anything. Go outside, we pray. We give God a chance to show himself strong. And God steps in on the back of that. And he said he felt heat going through his back. His back became much better instantaneously. Not totally healed, but much better. You know, this is it. This is the way that God works all the time. And you know, guys, I'm just getting really excited at the prospect of us all giving God opportunities to look strong on a weekly basis, on a daily basis. I'm just really excited by that. But I don't know about you, but I'm getting really excited. And I just feel it deep in my gut that God's going to release this over us as a church. And we're going to see amazing things happen regularly because we're doing this. Because when we speak out what we think we're hearing from the Lord, we give God a chance to show himself strong in the situations of our neighbours and our friends and our workplaces. And I haven't got time to tell all the other stories, but there are so many stories I could tell. Deej. That's my notes. Kerry, would you come up and start playing for us just for a second? Because I want to finish. But also, I want us to pray. Let's all just bow our heads a moment. Let's just all focus on the Lord. Let's all come into his presence intentionally. Because yes, God is present everywhere, but God comes especially where he's welcomed. Let's make a determined effort right now to welcome him. Let's make a conscious decision right now to do business with him. Because some of us need to know simply grace this morning. As Alistair said when he came up, some of us simply need to know the kiss of the Lord on our lives this morning. God's favour resting upon us this morning. And God's favour rests upon us, just like these poppies that we're wearing rests upon our hearts today. God's favour rests upon us, not just for this season, but for every season. Because of Jesus, because of the cross, because his son laid down his life, he was able to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the year of his favor. Some of us just need to know that God hears our cries and will help us to stand in this season. We will not be overcome because of his favor. Not because we deserve it, not because we're stronger or more capable, not because we're cleverer, but because we are loved by God. Because the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. We just need to know that God is with us. And with that knowledge, we must go out. We must position ourselves. We must go out and face our problems like Jehoshaphat did. We must stand, not give in. And we will see what the Lord will do when we respond in that way, when we go out and position ourselves. So some of us just need to know grace. A kiss from that Lord, from our Lord this morning. If that's you, receive that kiss right now, because the Spirit is here with the kiss of grace for our hearts, for our lives. Some of us, we need to start worshipping with a joyful noise. We need to make a sacrifice of praise when we don't feel like it. I bet Jehoshaphat's singers didn't really feel like singing when they were leading the army out to that great multitude that faced them. They didn't know the end of the story. They were doing the mad thing, the crazy thing. They were singing about God's goodness, going to their death. Unless God stepped in. And this is God's promise this morning. As we start to worship, as we start to make that joyful noise, as we start to sing of God's loving kindness again, the battle is won in our lives. Fruitfulness is released. Barrenness flees away. It says in Isaiah 54, verse 1, in fact, I'll read it. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me as I read that verse. The Lord spoke to me and said, that barrenness is not just about childbearing, you know. That speaks of fruitfulness in our lives. That speaks of fruitfulness in every area of our lives. Worship, praise releases fruitfulness into every area of our lives. Because it leads to intimacy. And this is all about intimacy. It's all about us and the Lord working together, getting to know one another, working together relationally. And the Lord is encouraging some of us here this morning to desire new levels of intimacy. To step up in our willingness to believe that God is speaking to us. To step up into new levels of faith and action. Believing, hearing the word of the Lord for those around us and for ourselves, and releasing the goodness of God into the lives of those that God is wanting to work amongst. So if you know, keep your heads bowed, if you know that actually the kiss of grace is what you need this morning, I'd like you to stand. If you know that's you, you're looking for a kiss of grace. You're looking for something to change in your life that you can't see how it's going to change. You have no power to change it, but you know it needs to change. God is coming with a kiss this morning to release that change that you're looking for. Thank you. Thank you. If you are looking, and if you know that when I spoke about the worship releasing fruitfulness, if you're looking for greater fruitfulness and you know actually that part of the key for you is a sacrifice of praise at this time, then I want you to stand. If you know it's a season where you need to be making more joyful noises, jumping up and down, running to your dad's arms. If you know that's you, if you've been holding back from your father, then stand. And now, the rest of you, I can only assume and believe for the rest of you, you really want to grow in intimacy with the Lord. You really want to step up and actually step out and start to declare what you think God is saying to you, because that's the way it always works. We can only say what we think we see God doing and hear God saying. Guys, just want to ask you to stand up and to pray with those that are already standing, to bless them in the name of the Lord, to offer them the kiss of grace, to release that over them, to release a spirit of praise over them, not of fainting, to minister the word of life to one another in the name of Jesus. Father, pour out your spirit right now all over this room. Let your kiss, Lord God, touch every person here, I pray, especially those who stood, Lord God, waiting for that kiss of grace. Let your kiss, Lord God, be felt on the lips of those who need it today, Lord Jesus. That touch of grace, that touch of heaven, that changes everything. Because just one touch from the King changes everything. Today we will see tides changed in the name of Jesus. Locked up situations broken open in the name of Jesus. Freedom coming in the name of Jesus. Love being poured out as we sang earlier in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, release over this house a new spirit of praise. A new spirit of praise, Lord God. Oh, Lord Jesus, stir our hearts up again. Help us to see you in all your glory so that we can do nothing but jump up and down with excitement and proclaim, there's our dad, there's our God. He's so good. Oh, Lord Jesus, refresh those hearts that need refreshing right now. And help us, Lord God, all to hear your voice, to hear your voice, to know what you're saying, to see what you're doing, and to declare it to this hurting world. Give us the boldness and the compassion we need, Lord God, to go out and to release your activity in our families, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our communities. That you might show yourself strong, Lord Jesus. You might show yourself to be the lover of men that you are, the compassionate God that you are, the great deliverer that you are, the mighty God that you are. Amen. Amen.